Growing up, my father was the man of the house. He was the guy in control, and me and my sister knew that we couldn't get anything past him. He took care of us, and he was a handyman and a carpenter, so he literally took care of the house. He fixed anything that was broken. He furnished it with his own furnishing that he created. I remember in high school, though, I would occasionally be out late and hanging out with friends, and I didn't have a curfew, so it didn't really matter to me what time I came in. So whenever I would come in at like midnight, 1 or 2 in the morning, I would try to sneak in and be quiet about getting into the house because I didn't want to wake anyone. So when I would sneak in through the kitchen, I would come in and the lights would be on and my father would just be sitting there in the house, right in the living room. And I would freak out and be like, I don't know what I'm going to do now. This is it. I know I'm going to lose it. But he didn't do much. He just said, how was your evening? And I said, it was fine. And he said, well, I'm glad you made it home. I'm glad you made it home. No lecture. No nothing. He didn't get mad at me. He didn't punch me or anything. He just wanted to make sure I made it home safe, that I was in his house, because this is his domain. This was his house. He was the ruler and the master. Now, I've been away for some time, so I guess that would make me the master of my own domicile. In the letter to the Hebrews, the author is writing to these Jewish Christians who had trouble seeing who their master is. We don't know much of the situation, obviously, but the Christians, they seem to be turning away from worshiping Christ. They were getting away from it, and I suspect that maybe it was because of their Jewish heritage. They were confused about where they were, because the author brings up Moses in the text. He says, Moses is a great and faithful servant. He was like Jesus. Moses was great and faithful. But Moses is not Jesus. Maybe they didn't see much difference between Moses and Jesus. That's why the author feels like he has to address it. Christ did not rule over their house. Moses was who they were looking to as the ruler of their house. And it was hurting them. They were being drawn away from their salvation because they were looking at a different master. Jesus is greater than Moses. Moses did not rule over the house of the Hebrews. And that probably sounds so obvious for us, because we know that Jesus is the master of the house. Jesus is the one who built the house, and he is the ruler. Of course, Moses is not the one running the house. We know that, don't we? While growing up, my sister and I would get into these fights, and my dad would have to intervene, but I discovered a way to get around the punishment. You see, he would always punish the one that was yelling or screaming or whining the most. And I knew that if I would kind of step back and be calm and collect and maybe act innocent and pretend I was the victim, he wouldn't punish me as much. I knew my dad had rules for us, and I knew what he expected from us. But I didn't want him to be in charge. I wanted to call the shots, and so I worked my way around so that I could be in control. When you look at your home, who do you see in charge? My roommate can't figure out that I'm the one in charge of my house. I know I'm in charge of my little room, though. But it doesn't quite fit the standard I would like to keep it. Maybe the bed's not always made. The dishes might take a little longer to get done than maybe my dad would like. But even though this is my place, it's my place. It's the way I like it. This is the way it should look. I don't care. Am I really the one in charge? Or maybe it's a form of laziness that's my master. What if you're a parent? Obviously, you're the one in charge of your house. Obviously, you're the one that has control. And so your kids know when they're done playing with their toys, they're supposed to put it away. But they don't. And so when you try to get him to put it away, you're tired, and you just don't want to put it away yourself because you know immediately after you put it into the toy box, they're just going to find an excuse to take it out. So you just let it sit there, and the mess accumulates. But you're in control. This was your decision, right? Or maybe this little one has control of the house. You see, our homes don't just encompass the place we sleep or the families that we gather together with. Whoever is the master in the house affects the way we conduct ourselves outside the home. When we all gather here at the seminary, what we take out of our house and bring to the home here comes here with us. Whoever rules at home rules us here. So I sometimes wonder if the professors know who's really in charge in the classroom. I know that what I need and what suits me. I'm the student. I'm in charge of my education, right? So I'll listen when it suits me. And maybe I'll just do a quarter of the readings, and I'm sorry, but that paper is going to be turned in late. Is it me that's in charge? Or is it my pride and my arrogance? What about at lunch? When you go to Wartburg, we find it to be a time to relax and catch up with our friends. And you go in there waiting for your friend, but you notice there's someone new. Maybe it's this new staff member you read about in an email, but you didn't really check your email. And you think maybe you should sit with them, but you don't. And instead, you find that empty table over there to wait for your friend. Because you can't be the one to introduce everyone to the campus. There's other people who are better at welcoming them. This is your time. This is your lunch. This is your time to relax. It's you who's in charge. Or maybe it's a form of indifference that runs your life. The author of the Hebrews points the congregation to consider Jesus as the master of the house. He is the apostle and high priest of their confession. The problem was that they saw Moses as a fine master of the house, and Jesus was more of the same, right? But Moses was only one of many houses, and he was a servant of God's house. The Jewish Christians were preoccupied with honoring the house rather than the builder and master of the house. Jesus Christ is the faithful one over the house of God because he's the Son. Moses pointed to this Jesus when he testified to the things that were spoken. The author points them back to the builder, to Jesus. He affirms them that they are his house. And it is in him that they hold their confession, their confidence, and their hope. This Jesus is the one who brought about their salvation. Jesus is the gracious master of the house. Whenever I get the chance to go home, me and my dad will sometimes have dinner at the table. And every time I sit with him, well, it always recalls all those memories when we would eat at the table together. All the times that we had, all the laughs we shared, all the stupid stuff I would do that would get me grounded. And even the house itself may have changed around the table. But the thing that never changed was my relationship with my dad. And he'd always tell me when I was there, "I'm glad you made it home. I'm glad you made it home." It's tempting for us to take charge of the house, to make it fit into our own little box. We want to be the master of the house, yet we can't even own up to our own standards and rules. Laziness, pride, arrogance, and indifference helps us to form a house of our own making, rather than letting the one who built the house reign. The author to the Hebrews says, "Holy brothers, holy sisters, consider Jesus, the one whom we confess." This Jesus is faithful over God's house. He is faithful over what God has made, and he seeks to bring you into the house that God built, back to the builder. All these masters and rulers of our home only cause the house to fall down and crumble. Christ takes what is in shambles and builds it up to be his house. That's what the Savior does. Jesus Christ is faithful to you. He takes all those false masters that seek to take our lives and put them to death. He takes those burdens and troubles that bother us and he casts them away. Jesus is faithful to you, and he will not let anything rule over your home. This one claimed you, rebuilt you, and established you into his life. We are God's house, and he did not leave you to be ruled by the world, by the devil, or even ourselves. Christ is faithful to you, and he builds you into his home to make you his house, and he graciously rules. In the next few months, everything's going to change for you. Going on your first call, finding out where you're going to be placed on Vicarage, and maybe waiting for the new students who are going to come on campus. The one thing that won't change is your relationship with Jesus Christ. We are indeed his house. We have a confidence that speaks freely of Christ as if we're in the home with family. And since we are his house and Christ rules over us, we now have our own part of the house that he has given us to take care of. And that little slice of the world that the Lord has given and built for you to love and to cherish. We could begin by affirming one another in that confession. We could have Christ rule by, turning in our assignments on time. We could show Christ's reign by welcoming a new member to this community. And since Christ rules over all our homes, we have license to help those families who are overburdened and take care of their kids. Meanwhile, we look forward to our hope when all things will be made new. The house rebuilt, the hope that is in Jesus Christ, who will come to establish his kingdom forever with you in it. And he'll be glad you're home. In Christ's name, amen.